Amen. As you remain standing, take God's word, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 for our scripture this morning for the message. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse number 8 through verse number 14. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8 through verse number 14. And notice what the word of God says to us this morning. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad the Bible says all people? Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I do thank you for this passage of Scripture. And now we ask that the Holy Spirit that dwells in us will open up our mind of understanding and appreciate the great proclamation of the angels and what they had said about the birth of the Lord Jesus and what they said about his character, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May we be able to leave here today saying with great confidence, confidence that comes from your amazing grace, that we're able to say he is my Savior, and that we are living in yieldedness to his lordship over our life. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning in our lives, we do have room for the Lord Jesus, and thankful for the fact that, so to speak, he made room for us, did he not? And we need to make room in our hearts and lives for him. January 1st, 1863 was a very historic day in the United States of America. It was a day of great liberation, particularly if you were a slave. For on that day, President Abraham Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation, setting all slaves free. A very historic day, and what a proclamation it was. But do you know, the angels made even a better proclamation surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, what they proclaimed was so far better than what President Abraham Lincoln had done. That was a great thing, what he did. But what he did cannot, if you would, save a soul, but what Jesus has done can save a soul. We find here that the angels made a great proclamation. For these last few Sundays, we have been looking at the matter of the promise that was given to us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, talking about how that one day Jesus would come into the world and how that he would destroy Satan. And one day, praise God, according to the book of Revelation, we know that Satan is going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. But we realize that God had given a great promise in Genesis chapter 3. We looked at a couple weeks ago how that Joseph believed the promise. He was concerned because Mary was pregnant. He knew he was not involved, so he had one of three choices. He could have her stoned, he could make a public example out of her, or he could put her away privately. Well, that's what his choice was, but God always has a better choice and a better plan than we do. And we find that in that context of Scripture, that Joseph had believed God and Joseph had believed the promise. Last Sunday, we looked at how Mary also was confronted with the promise and what her reaction to that would be. Her reaction was, "You tell me that I'm with child, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And I share with you how that would be a very, I think, natural question for a woman to ask. All right, if there's not going to be a man involved, it's going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit. Tell me, I mean, I'm going to have a child, and how is this going to happen? Well, she was assured how it was going to happen. And Elizabeth had proclaimed that she was blessed because she had believed the word of the Lord. So Mary had believed the promise. Now this morning we see that the angels proclaimed the promise. Notice what they proclaimed in our text. Primarily verse number 14 is what we are looking at. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We see here, first of all, that they made a proclamation of praise. Glory to God. Church, we ought to be rejoicing, and we ought to be giving God praise and glory for the great plan of how that at the right time he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, go to the cross, die for our sins, and then raise his son, Jesus, from the dead. And no wonder then the angel said here, glory to God. Because now they are focusing on the person of praise, that God is the one to be glorified in all of this. The Bible says in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." In fact, as you go through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that surrounded it and all the characters that were involved in this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice in chapter 1 and verse number 46 and verse 47, you see here that Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So Mary gives glory to God. Notice, if you would, in chapter 1, again in verse number 68. Zechariah says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Zechariah gives glory to God. Notice, if you would, in chapter 2 and verse number 28. Simeon now is handling, if you would, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, holds him in his arms, and notice what he says in verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." Here is what I'm getting at, church. Over and over throughout the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the events surrounding it, before, during, and after, has to say all glory to God. In fact, if we come to this time of year and fail to give God glory, we are doing a great injustice, because God is the one to be glorified. God is the one to be exalted. And the angel proclaimed, glory to God in the highest. So he focuses the minds of these shepherds upon the person of praise, but also the reason for it, the purpose of the praise. Because God became flesh in the person of his Son. Now, why is that so significant? Well, I'll tell you here in a moment, but I want you to think about this. In Isaiah 9:6, it gives us the names of the Lord Jesus, and one of the names is this: the Mighty God. The Mighty God. And then we find in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23, where the angel says, "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being an interpreted is God with us. And then you think about in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And then in John 1 and verse number 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now I know just as the virgin birth can be to our human minds hard to comprehend, likewise, when we think about God being in Christ, reconciling the world into Himself, when, just as that song I think was sung a couple Sunday nights ago, Mary, did you know that when you kissed that baby, you kissed the Son of God? You kissed God. And what a thought! Because God was manifest in the flesh. And we find that here in this context, glory to God in the highest. Why give Him glory? Because God became flesh in the person of His Son. What a thought. What an act of God. And no wonder then, the angel says, give Him glory. But notice also in verse number 14, this thought. Not only glory in the highest, so they made a proclamation of praise, but there's also the proclamation of peace. Notice this. And on earth, peace. The proclamation of peace. A granddaughter and her grandfather were reading this very verse, and the little girl looked at those words, peace on earth. And she said, Granddaddy, what does that mean? Well, he said, that means that Jesus came down to this world to bring peace. Well, she thought about that for a few moments and then said, Granddaddy, it didn't work, did it? You know, in our world in which we live, we might think the same thing. If we take God out of the picture, we might think, well, that didn't work. It was a failed mission. There is no peace. In fact, there are so many wars even now throughout our world. Yes, there is the push for peace. It would look like that Jesus failed this part of the mission, that there is no peace on the earth. But I tell you, He did not fail because He cannot fail. He did not fail. We find that we are able to have present peace because of what Jesus did. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the peace that God offers is offered, it is not imposed. He does not impose His peace upon us. But He definitely offers the way of peace, because remember, man without God, man without Jesus, according to Romans chapter 3, does not know the way of peace. He does not know it. And he cannot know it on his own. You can sign treaties, you can sign peace treaties and so forth, but still not be at peace with God. We are only able to have peace with God, one, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these verses in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 21. And having made peace, this is speaking of Jesus, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. So what Jesus did beyond His birth, He came with a purpose in mind to seek and to save that which was lost. He came with a purpose in mind. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to give my very life. I'm going to be a sacrifice. I'm going to be the substitute. I'm going to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. But in so doing that, in that work of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was able to do a work of reconciliation. Now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. We had the privilege last Sunday night to gather around the Lord's table, and we thought about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to tell you this morning from the Scripture that when Jesus Christ comes again, He's not coming to die. He'll never die again. He did it once. Once was sufficient. Amen? It is sufficient. And he died, but as he died, through all of that process, he was able to make the way of reconciliation possible. One preacher pictured it this way. He says, in the cross, it points up to heaven, picturing the fact that Jesus Christ reached up and took the hand of God. The cross also points downward, picturing the fact that Jesus Christ reached down and took hold of the hands of a man. And with one hand in the hand of God and the other in the hand of man, he brought the two together and made peace. And you hath he reconciled. And we find that we are able to have present peace. Let me ask you, and I know majority of you, because of the grace of God you have experienced in your life, are going to be able to say amen to this. Are you at peace with God? I hope so. Listen, if you're not, today you can be at peace with God. You can never experience the peace of God until you have peace with God. And Jesus Christ came, according to what the angels proclaimed, and he did not fail at his mission. He came through his birth to give glory to God, but also through his birth and on earth, peace. You and I, as believers, are sent into this world to leave the walls of this building here in a little while and go out into this world and be ambassadors for Jesus Christ with a message: be reconciled to God. I'm glad this morning that you and I can leave here and talk to someone else that doesn't know Jesus and offer them hope through the scriptures that they too can be at peace with God. I've had people say from time to time when someone passes, well, I hope so-and-so made peace with God. Well, we can all hope that, but I'm telling you this morning, because of God's mercy and grace in my life, I drop dead in front of you. I'm at peace with God. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And when I got saved, that great transaction was completed. Praise God for that. Present peace. So I want to ask you very clearly this morning, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with him? Now think about this. Not only is there present peace, but you notice the text says, and on earth, peace. Now think about this. Again, we don't see that right now. Recently, all eyes seem to, at least believers, seem to go toward Israel when our president sided with Israel and proclaimed that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. And yes, I know already because of that, there's been more uprising between the Palestinians and the Jews there. I understand that. So what kind of peace is this talking about? When will this peace ever come? Well, I tell you, it's speaking of a prophetic peace. In the millennial kingdom, when Christ will rule and reign upon the earth. Listen to this verse. In Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. That day is yet future, but that day is coming. Then will men know of peace on earth. But you can have peace even though there is not peace on the earth. You can have peace in your life daily because, one, for you, there has come a time in your life when you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and you have had peace with God. But here's a good question to ask yourself. All right, I've made that issue settled and clear in my mind. But why don't it? Why does it seem like I don't have peace now? Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. And the peace of God. Now think about this. Many of you here this morning can proclaim, I know I'm saved and I am at peace with God. But do you have the peace of God ruling in your heart today? Or are you allowing a circumstance to rob you of the peace of God in your life? If so, one, I would encourage you to read the book of Philippians. Because the book of Philippians will help you get your joy back. Help you get your peace back. Help you get that which you need. Because God doesn't want us, if you would, living day by day without his peace settling in our hearts and in our lives. What are you worried about? You've heard the old saying that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And there is so much truth to that. We get full of worry, and worry is sin. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says so. Be anxious for, say it with me, nothing. I'm the first to admit, I haven't always lived there. There have been times I haven't lived, be anxious for nothing. Only to kick myself thinking, why did I lose a night's sleep over that? God had it all under control anyway. And sometimes we allow the circumstances of life to rob us of peace. The peace of God. So when we consider this, we think about the angel proclaiming a great message of praise, a proclamation of peace. And then a proclamation of potential. Look at this now. Same verse. Good will toward men. You see, God's plan is, according to Matthew 5 and verse number 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. He is saying that in the sphere of the birth of the Lord Jesus, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, good will toward men. Who are we to express this good will toward? One, our enemies. Two, our fellow Christians. Three, toward the lost. Jude in verse 22 says, and of some having compassion. Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion. I shared with my wife a video set to song. And it's called People in the Line. I don't know if you've ever heard the song. You can look it up on YouTube and watch it. But the idea is there's people in the line, there's people on the road, there's people in the pew. The video starts off with this lady standing at the back of the line, but at the front of the line is a lady trying to check out. Phone rings, she answers it, and she's just brokenhearted. You could just tell it. She begins to weep. She drops her keys, and the lady in the back row is just watching this like, come on, you got to be kidding me. Of all days. She didn't say that, but that's how I would feel. It's like, come on, really? And that lady runs out, the one that's crying. So the people in the line. So those two ladies then get in their vehicles, the next scene, and it shows you the lady that was in that back row just enjoying her ride down the road, and then a car just flies by her and cuts in front of her. They show the picture that it was this woman that has gotten that call. She was on her way to the hospital. She got in the hospital, and there was her son, all had a tube down his throat and all bandaged up. And then the next scene shows that lady in the back row sitting on the front row of the church. And she's singing. It doesn't tell you what they're singing, but they're singing. She's singing with the church family. And she looks to her right, and she sees a teenager with arms just shot up from using drugs. Standing next to her is a mother weeping because her son was in prison. And over to her left was that lady that just had her son in the hospital. The gist of the song was, there's people in the line, there's people on the road, there's people in the pew, there are people everywhere. But sometimes we miss the opportunity to show compassion because we have our schedule, we have our plans, we have our agenda, and God don't disrupt that. But I love it when God does disrupt the plan. Because he has a reason. Just as he did in that video, he had a reason for that woman to be in the back row, because eventually she was able to minister to the woman that had the need. The video closes out with those two ladies in a living room together with their Bibles and doing a Bible study together. You see, we miss so many opportunities because we're in a hurry. I'd like to tell you that there are some things I've learned since my heart surgery, but I tell you one that I'm still working on is learning, and my wife can vouch for this, is learning to slow down. Something simple, men, as holding your wife's hand and walking. You think, well, that'd be easy. Not for me. I walk with her like I'm on a soul-winning mission. Because when I was trained to do soul-winning, you were to walk to that door like you're a man on a mission. You knock on that door and you get to the next door. Well, my wife is constantly pulling me back, and I'm constantly pulling. Let's go. We got to go. And I tell you that to say there's things in all of our lives that will hurt us from ministering to people. For me, it's that, just being in too big of a hurry. I want it done. I want it done now. Let's go. God says, slow down. Slow down. What's the classic verse? Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Wow. Easy for me to quote that. Lord, help me to live it. Just be still, be still, be still. So here we see that God's plan is for us is to love our enemies, love our fellow Christians, love the lost. And God's provision is that even as God has forgiven us, so we are to forgive others. So let me ask you as I wrap this up this morning, are you at peace with God? If you are, say amen. If you are not and you cannot say amen, then today, won't you come to Jesus? He is the one that can forgive you, and he's the only one that can forgive you of all of your sin. He's the one that can give you eternal life. It's found in him. That's the best gift of all that anybody can receive this time of year, is the gift of eternal life. If you don't know him, won't you come to know him today as your Savior? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Secondly, are you in need of the peace of God in your life? Are you in need of the peace of God? What is it that's robbing you of peace this morning? What is it that might have kept you awake all night this past week? What is it that's robbing you of the peace of God in your life? Won't you take heed to God's word? Be anxious for nothing. for nothing. Say, God, help me to live there. Help me to live there. And then I want to ask you this. Are you lovingly and boldly proclaiming peace to others through the gospel of Jesus Christ? I quoted this verse earlier. Now then, ye are ambassadors for Christ, and we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. If I came up to you, and I'm not going to, but if I came up to you and asked, who are you currently? Notice I use the word currently. Who are you currently praying for and trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with? Could you name me someone? I trust you're able to say yes. But if not, I trust that you would pray, God, break my heart for people. Help me to be moved with compassion toward people because they need Jesus, and the only way they're going to hear about him is through people like me, through people like you. And we're not to go and grab them by the shirt and say, repent! Sometimes we want to do that. But we are to go lovingly and boldly, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel with others. I've been encouraged as of late to look at our track rack. Not that I just go by it and look at it all the time, but to see how I've had to add tracks. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me that you're taking them and you're passing them out. You're using them as a tool, as an opportunity. I pray almost every day, God, open a door of opportunity for me to tell somebody of Jesus today. Because as the angels proclaimed their message, the shepherds went and they proclaimed it. And the Bible says the people wondered at the message that the shepherds said. Now, that doesn't mean that they all got saved. That doesn't mean that they all repented of their sin and came to the Lord Jesus. But here's what I do know, that the more we share it, the more people can know of the Lord Jesus. Because if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are what? To them that are lost. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. And may we be proclaimers just like the angel, a proclaimer of good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, this morning, you have touched my heart, even as you have done throughout the week. Thank you that the angel proclaimed this great message, a message of praise and peace and potential. And Father, how I pray that in our lives, as your children, that we would live with the peace of God in our hearts. Whatever is robbing anyone this morning of that peace, help them today to be anxious for nothing. Strengthen them. Help them to live there. Please help them, Father. Give them victory. For those that are not peace with you, may they today come to know Jesus Christ as Savior in their life. And Father, may each of us as your children also be challenged to boldly and lovingly to proclaim the gospel of peace to those who have not heard it. Or even to those who have heard it, help us to share it with them again. Please work through us. We are the vessels. We don't save anyone. But we are your vessels. This is your plan for us to go into all of our Jerusalem and reach our Jerusalem with the gospel. So help us to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Not their heads bowed.